Well, good morning, church family. We're going to go to work this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, please. In your Bibles, you can look on the screen online and follow along if you'd like. Thank you, sir. And if not, you can open your Bibles if you have one with you, or your device, your phone, your tablet, your scroll, or whatever you have. But we're glad you're here this morning. We want to begin a new series today called The Unseen War. So we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, spiritual armor, spiritual weapons, those kinds of things for the next few weeks together as we begin summer here at Fruit Cove. And some of this is just a reminder of some things that you already know. But the book of Ephesians is divided into two major sections. The first section is the section of doctrine. It teaches us some doctrinal things that we need to accept and understand and know about ourselves as believers. For instance, in 1 Corinthians, or in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus." Say, blessed us. In Christ Jesus, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, believe that. Every blessing God has already promised you, He's already given you, He's already made available to you, is available to you in spiritual places, in heavenly places. All right? God has blessed you. You are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. But here and now, as we live our lives out on earth, there are some things that we must do, and things that we need to do and take responsibility for. So today, we're going to read together in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, where it says, "Finally," which does in Greek, that just means 20 minutes more of stuff. But finally, preachers are taught that in school. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes," the methodia in Greek, the methodology of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Pray with me for a moment, please. Father, as you open our hearts and our minds today to your word, will you speak its truth deeply into us? There are people here who are held captive by lies, deception, discouragement, despair, depression, and defeat. And I pray today that you will set the captives free, that we may know the freedom of your Spirit as we walk in the blessings that you have given us in Christ Jesus, and as we find today the strength that we need to face our lives each day as you give us that new strength. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. C.S. Lewis said, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race, humanity, can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and then to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them." We want to find a spot in the middle, a sweet spot that we can walk in understanding this. I don't want us to become overly obsessed with demonic kinds of things. That's not a healthy thing, not a healthy place for a Christian or a church to be. On the other hand, it is absolutely dangerous to not know what is going on in the spiritual realm around you. Because the reality is, many of us, most of us, in fact, are more oriented toward thinking the material things that we can see, the people that we can see, the people we sit next to, the people we live with, people that we work with, people that we do life with, those things, those people, those circumstances are more real than anything else. And the Bible says, no, it's just the opposite. The things that we cannot see are far more real than the things that we can. So how do we understand that? How do we walk in that? My hope in this series is that we'll come away reminded that spiritual conflict in our life on this earth is real. The world is a battlefield, not a playground. It's a war taking place in an unseen realm, but the effects of that war are being lived out through your life on earth. And in reality, well, the world's just getting better and better, isn't it? No, in reality, this warfare is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we are sometimes living less capable of handling the warfare than we've ever been before. We need to step up our game. Some of us are completely unaware that there's a war taking place. Some Christians live in denial about this. Some live in unconscious disbelief. But many people just go, I don't even think about it. And again, I don't want to move us into an unhealthy obsession over this, and we're not going to talk about exorcism. We're not going to do that kind of stuff, but I want us to be real. You cannot blame the devil for everything that goes wrong in your life. The devil doesn't make your washing machine break down. Okay, can I clear that up for you? The devil did not do that. Bad wiring did that. Bad plumbing did that. But not the devil. But it's dangerous to go to the other end of the spectrum and just think that the devil is some cartoon, some guy in a red onesie with horns and a pitchfork and a goatee. That's what he wants you to think he is, because as long as you don't see that guy coming, you're not going to worry about it, right? No, he wants to hide. He wants to live behind other things. He wants to work in stealth and in deception. And if there is a spiritual war, and there is, what do you need to know about it? What do you need to do about it? You know, there's an old story told about a farming community that was going through a drought. The churches decided in the community to all come together one Sunday afternoon on this large sun-baked field for a prayer meeting to ask God for rain. And as the first old preacher got up on this trailer on the back of the tractor, he stood up and he was just quiet. He stood there for a few moments and he looked over the crowd and he said, you know, we have gathered together to ask God Almighty to send us rain, but not one of you brought an umbrella. I wonder how many of you today walked into this day understanding that I'm walking onto a battlefield. Oh, no, I'm going to church. You're walking onto a battlefield. Every day. And we go out all the time unprepared for the battle that we are about to face. We have a very real, very dangerous enemy lurking who wants to steal and kill and destroy. Possibility is he rode to church with some of you this morning in your car. How was your ride to church this morning? He is among us. He looks for opportunities. You know, this past week, Russian media declared that we are now in World War III. As far as they're concerned. They said, you know, this war has gone beyond the Ukraine, and now they are moving into, we're going to start, you know, moving against the United States and Great Britain and NATO. I thought it was very interesting. Nobody got upset about that. You know why they didn't? Nobody believed it. I didn't believe it when I heard it. You probably didn't either. Maybe you did, but Russia is saying, oh, we're in World War III. Well, we're not playing. We're not in the war with you, you know? But the reality is there is a war that's on. It's not with Russia. It's not with Vladimir Putin. It's not that. That's not the war I'm talking about. And it's not the one that you personally right now should be worried about most. It's not that real to you in some ways. In many ways, Christians live in this oblivion to this battleground and the existence of our spiritual enemy. There's an old hymn that says, and still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, one little word shall fell him. So you gained a very real enemy. You gained a great friend. You gained a wonderful Savior. But you gained a very real enemy when you gave your heart to Jesus. See, the devil cannot live and cannot reside inside of a person who has Jesus inside of them. It can't happen. But what he will try to do still is to lie and accuse and torment those that he has lost. And he will take you down. And he will discourage you or disqualify you if you do not learn to fight spiritually. So in a way, I want to sound like, I want to talk like and speak to you today like a coach. And we're going to go over some game films, okay? We're going to go back and try to figure out what the enemy has planned and how he operates and where his weak spots are. Because you know what? He's doing that to you. He's watching your game tapes. He's going back and he's seeing places in your life where he can go, you know, I can exploit that. Oh, that person, they were abused when they were young. I can take that. That person has an addiction. I can work with that. That person has a predisposition to being depressed. Oh, I can make them depressed. He's watching you. I'm not trying to make you paranoid. I'm just telling you the truth. So today, we're going to kind of turn that lens around a little bit. And three things really quick this morning. I'm trying to talk really fast this morning. There's a very real enemy, first of all, I want you to know about. There's a very real enemy. Billy Graham used to tell the story of a boxer just getting beat to death in the boxing ring by his opponent. And when the bell finally rang, when the round was over, he went to his corner. He's bleeding and bruised. And he said to his trainer, just throw in the towel. This guy's beating me to death. And his trainer yelled back at him, he's not touching you. He never laid a glove on you. But through swollen lips, the boxer said, I wish you'd keep an eye on that referee because somebody in that ring is beating me to death. Now, the reality is there's a real enemy, and some of us are bruised and bleeding this morning because he's been pummeling you, and you don't even know why. You don't even know where this is coming from. What's going on? He's not made up. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a myth or a legend. He's a very real, very smart, very powerful being. The Bible calls your enemy the adversary. In some places, he's called the accuser of the brethren. In other places, Apollyon, the great destroyer. He hides. He wants you to believe he's some old guy in a red onesie. That's what he wants you to think. He sometimes hides as an angel of light. He comes in religious packaging as much as he does anything else. He can work on Wall Street. He can work as your manager in your office. He can work as your spouse sometimes. He can hide. And we don't always know where he's going to come at us. Jesus confronted him in the wilderness, wrestled with him for 40 days and 40 nights. He resisted him every time with the word of God. You can do the same thing. You will only win if you do the same thing. You will only win if you take the word of God. Now, let me be quick to remind you again, the devil is not responsible for every bad thing that happens to you. We have three enemies as believers. Number one, we have the world. Number two, we have the flesh. And then number three, we have the devil. We live, first of all, in a fallen, broken, sinful world. It's a perfect environment for the enemy to work in. He broke it. But we live in a broken, fallen world, and one day God's going to end it, but until then, we have to live in an imperfect, broken world. Secondly, you live in a fallen, broken, sinful body. Paul said, the things that I want to do, I can't do, I don't do. I do the very opposite of the things that I want to do. That's because you live in a broken, fallen body. And that's a perfect situation also for the enemy to work against you. But sometimes the problems you face, folks, let's face it, let's accept it. Sometimes the problems we face are not satanic, they're just sin. We sin. We mess up our own lives with sin. They come because we live in a world that's yet to be transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same thing with your body, but let's not give the devil more than his due. He's not orchestrating every bad situation. Sometimes you suffer from self-inflicted wounds. You do it to yourself. But let's remember, we do have a very real enemy working against us, and he has come, Jesus said, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his game plan. That's his modus operandi. He wants to steal what? Your joy, your peace, your contentment, anything he can take from you that God has given you, any spiritual blessing that God has given you, he wants to steal that from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Jesus said Satan was a murderer from the beginning. One of the first sins humanity committed was a brother killing his brother. Not with a gun, with a rock. Murder is in our genes because the enemy helped put it there. So there is a reliable strategy. Let me not just focus on the enemy. I want to give a moment to that. But our warfare, Paul says, and this is, let's get into our text really, really quickly. Paul says, our warfare, our struggle, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. By the way, he calls it wrestling. You know what that is? That is hand to hand, face to face, breath to breath, skin to skin contact. We're not lobbing missiles at each other across miles and miles and miles. We are in a wrestling match. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness. There are things that are happening around you, folks, that you cannot see with your eyes, that are more real than anything you can see with your eyes. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You know what that means? Can I get personal? That means that the person that you're mad at this morning, I know you all aren't mad at anybody, but, you know, maybe the next service there'll be people that are mad at somebody. But somebody in your life, you know, you're mad at that person, that individual that frustrates you continually. Don't look at your spouse if it's them. Don't look at that right now. This person that's making your life miserable right now, let me tell you something. I'm going to set you free. They are not the enemy. How about that? Now you're free. Guess what? You know what that means? You can stop being mad at them. They are not the enemy. Will you say that? Just make sure you're with me. They are not the enemy. Oh, you say it like you believe it this time. They are not the enemy. They are not the enemy. If you believe that, it will set you free. If you believe that, it will set you free. Get mad at the right person. But flesh and blood is, that's not your enemy. Now, that's the effect that you feel from the spiritual war, okay? You feel that through flesh. You feel that through people. But the people that are doing these things to you, they're not the enemy. Stop hating on people. How about that? Just stop it. You don't have to do that. They're not the problem. There is a problem behind them. Now, people can be pawns to the enemy if they're unaware of what this is telling us today. Satan can use any person, the person closest to you sometimes, to speak lies into your life. They can whisper lies. Job's wife whispered lies into his heart. Curse God and die. Wow, that one had sulfur on it. You can smell it sometimes, can't you? You can smell the sulfur. You can say, oh, whew, wow, that was bad. That's because the enemy speaks through people. You have to be discerning. You have to be careful. Keeps your focus off the Lord. Keeps you angry and unforgiving and depressed. The demonic realm needs a physical body to work through. We're told that Satan used a serpent in the Garden of Eden. He needed a physical form, a physical expression to be able to work through. Let me tell you what else he needs. He needs your cooperation to make your life miserable. How about that? Stop hating other people and listen, stop blaming other people for your problems. You gave Satan permission to make you miserable today. All right? You gave him permission. He could not do it without you giving him permission. Now, I'm talking to Christians today. But if you are a Christian, the only way Satan can make you miserable is if you say, okay, I believe you. Come on in. And some of you have spent your whole life miserable. You give him permission. Don't be ignorant of his methods, methodia. Don't be ignorant. People are ignorant of Satan. They can be very smart people, be very ignorant of Satan. And he will box you around and push you around and make your life miserable. He can do nothing to you that you don't give him permission to do. We win spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. We are to be armed with the full armor of God. We can choose to access this armor. There are two sets of armor that are given to us. First of all, if you'll look really quickly, okay, I'm trying to go really fast. Therefore, it says, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. The whole armor. It's God's armor. He provides it for you that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. What's your job? To stand firm. What's God want you to do? Stand firm. How's he going to help you? He's going to give you spiritual armor to help you do that. There's two sets. Tony Evans tells us there's two sets of three, and it was a really good point. He said, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Three things begin with having. You already have these things. Keep them on all the time. Keep them on all the time. Having these things. You've got these things. Keep them on. Don't take them off. You never take those three weapons off. And then there's three more weapons that you take up when you need them. All right? And that begins in verse 14. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we'll explain all these and work through these over the next few weeks. You know, we can choose to access this armor. God's given it to you. Just like the blessings that you have in spiritual places, God's given them to you. If you don't access them, they mean nothing. He's given you this armor. If you don't use it, it means nothing. A football player can have a uniform that costs thousands of dollars in the locker room, but if he runs out onto the field in his t-shirt and gym shorts, that uniform's doing him no good. And I'm going to tell you something else. God's about to be a victim on that football field. Nobody'd run out. No professional football, no college football player would run out on the field without a uniform, Pastor Tim. Well, I'm sure that's true. But a lot of Christians run onto the battlefield with no armor. And the army, the military, has a word for that person: casualty. There's a lot of spiritual casualties around us because we don't access the armor. So what are we supposed to do? So we pick up these weapons. We take up these weapons. He has supplied us with weapons. But listen, he won't dress you. He will not dress you. You have to dress yourself. You have to be willing to do this. He gave you the armor. He gave you the clothes. Put them on. And parents, can I urgently tell you something? Pray over you. Pray the armor of God over your children. Stop worrying about your kids when you send them out and start praying. God, would you surround my child with this armor, with the helmet of salvation to guard their thinking, with the breastplate of righteousness to guard their heart, and go through this list of armor. I did that for my children. Listen, my kids are both almost 40. I prayed it over them this morning. I still do it. Every day. Pray for your kids. Pray for them that this armor will protect them, guard their hearts, their minds. Phil Shire said, everything that occurs in the visible physical world is directly connected to the wrestling match being waged in the invisible spiritual world. The effects of the war going on in the unseen world reveal themselves in our strained, now listen to this, in our strained and damaged relationships, in our emotional instability, in our mental fatigue, in our physical exhaustion, and many other areas of life. Let me read this again. This is really important. The effects of the war going on, the wrestling match going on in the unseen world affects you how? It damages your relationships with emotional instability, with mental fatigue, physical exhaustion, and other areas. Many of us feel pinned down by anger and unforgiveness and pride and comparisons and insecurity and discord and fear, and the list goes on and on. But the overarching primary nemesis behind all of these outcomes is the devil himself. All right, now I just set somebody else free with that, right? You understand yourself a little bit better? What are you doing? You are feeling the effects of a spiritual war, but you're going, okay, well, I got to fix this somehow. Yes, you do. You need to get on your knees and you need to fight this battle spiritually. You need to understand you're under attack, folks. It's mentally fatiguing sometimes to have to deflect the thoughts that come at you and push people back. We don't fight people. People are not the enemy. That's the lie the devil wants you to believe. If, you know, we think, boy, if I can just destroy that person that we're continually angry with, your life would improve. And that's the lie that we have to reject. Our warfare is not with flesh and blood. Okay, let me go on to the last point. I'm done. There's a remarkable strength that we have. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, he starts in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. If we're going to overcome, if we're going to win in the cosmic battle that we're a part of, we are going to do so because we understand and we access the strength of the Lord. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The enemy wants to destroy you because of the presence of Jesus in you. Good news is the enemy's not really mad at you. But he is mad because of the presence of Jesus Christ in you. When Saul and Paul the apostle, used to be Saul, the Jewish terrorist persecutor, was coming after Christians, in the vision that he had of Jesus on the Damascus Road, Jesus asked him a question. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Oh, I'm not persecuting you, Lord. I'm persecuting. No, if you're touching them, you're touching me. Why does the enemy hate you? Because Jesus lives in you. Jesus lives in you. The greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The war that we fight, this is not our battle. It's not our fight. It is not by power. It is not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We need to pray to win in this battle. Our strength is not in our own might. It's when we learn how to get out of the way and let God fight the battle through us. You see, we work out of this position. We work from a posture of victory that has already been won by the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That won the victory for us. We work out of victory, but we are still fighting battles, fighting cleanup battles. That doesn't mean we're going to lose. That doesn't mean that at the end of the day, you're going to lose everything. No, it just means that you have a little bit of control over whether or not you want your life to be miserable or you want it to be better. You want to live in captivity to lies, and deception, and fear, and anger, and pride? Or do you want to be free? So you're made to be free. We're made to be set free from these things. And some of us have strongholds in our mind. We'll talk about this some more later. But some of us have strongholds in our mind that are keeping us captive. Every time you turn around, you run into that stronghold of fear again, of anxiety again, of depression again, of anger. And there's a stronghold. It's just like it's blocked everything. But God has given us victory, folks, through Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you today, this war is going to get worse and worse. We're seeing it manifested physically in all the violence going on around the world, not just here, but around the world. There's violence everywhere. The world's on fire. And it's because the enemy is getting more and more desperate. He knows his time is short. But I don't want you to go out and be a victim. I don't want you to be a casualty of the war. I want you to be victorious because of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me, please, as we end? Father, as we stop right now, as we pray, I want to first of all thank you for the promise of the victory that you give us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We do not fight in our own strength. We do not fight by our own power, our own might. We cannot fight this battle by ourselves. This battle must be won only as we depend upon you. Father, I pray that we will all understand and be reminded again of how important it is to come into this battle dressed, to take up the spiritual armor that you've given to us, to keep it on us, to take up those things that we need to, that we might live not in a defensive posture, but in readiness for where you call us to go. Help us to stand fast, to stand firm in your spirit. Lord, help us to do so in prayer, as we trust you and as you give us the strength that we need. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. You come as God leads you.